Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad again to approach your throne of grace and mercy to talk with you. No, you've already communicated with us and to us by your word, Lord, which we are grateful, and we give that same word back to you, Lord. We're so glad that you're here in the fullness and person of the Holy Spirit, that our God is in the midst of his people, and our God reigneth, and our God has judged and cast judgment now in favor of his people. These things, Lord, we are aware of, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We praise you, O God, that you build us up in the most holy faith. As we look to you, coming to that place, Lord, where rapturing faith certainly is taking a hold, and we thank you for it. Now help us in the study, Lord. Bless us together, we pray. Bless those who cannot be here, my Lord, we pray that you will be with them to heal and deliver in whatsoever manner is necessary or to give strength. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into the Word tonight, I wonder how many are still getting spoken word books. Is there anybody here not getting them? Or does everybody get them? You still get them, Norm?
Yeah, I haven't got any for a long time.
Oh, they cut your meeting list up. You going last week? Yeah, have you had them continuously? Yeah, you get you didn't order them yet? Nobody. Well, listen, tell you what you better do. We should maybe try to Sunday, if the deacons remind me, or maybe Lloyd, you take the song service anyway. We'll find out more about how many do not have books, and we'll get books sent direct to the church here, and or I'll have them sent to my place. It doesn't matter. And then we'll distribute them, and we'll just give them so much money toward them. That'll be really the best way. It'll, unless you particularly want to, have it sent to your home in case you're afraid you might miss a copy. I don't think you need to worry, really, because we'll order extra copies. And I thought this might be good because in the future we could begin to go into some of the messages together. See what Brother Branham preached and try to take out some of the major thoughts that he put forth in various messages, to try to study them through as to doctrine, and to it's good to just get his own presentation that way. Now, I'm going to recap last Sunday. This is a recap then of investigation and judgment. Now, you notice, you've read this in several places, especially Brother Branham mentioned the, what people call the flying saucers, UFOs, that he called this an investigating judgment. And, we were looking at the word here back in, Genesis, and, chapter 18 is what we'll look at. And in there, God says in verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet with the Lord. Now, you notice that the first of all, the Lord gave his attention to Abraham. That's what we're looking at. And he gave him the assurance of the promise that the sun would appear physically upon earth at a certain specific time. And what he was really doing was making Abraham aware of the hour of the promise, which promise had already been given, which really was the foreknown word of Almighty God way back in the dim eternities before there was even a speck of stardust. And then Abraham says in verse 23, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Now, all through here you'll notice that Abraham is really asking a question that, well, it's legitimate. Because you are a part of the civilization in which you live. You're part of the, or were part of the church out of which you came. And you're a part of humanity. And you have here the understanding that God has dealt with you, and God is going to deal with the wicked. And this question here in Genesis is the same question that is posed today. Do the saints go through the Great Tribulation? Now, the word "through" the Great Tribulation is a bunch of hogwash. Because the understanding of the Scripture at this point is nil. There isn't anybody that goes through the Great Tribulation. They die. So this is the thought. This is the truth. Do the righteous perish with the wicked in the tribulation? No. Now, if they just went back to Genesis, you wouldn't worry whether Wall, Brood, and of course these are old timers you really know nothing of, and the late Charles Fuller and Sherry Schaefer, and all these guys, well, you can put almost Moody in there, but really not. Goldfield and the whole bunch of them. The argument comes up. Do the saints go through the Great Tribulation? Well, here you are. Certainly not. The righteous, of course, when they do not perish wicked, but of course, as you understand, I just told you that the fallacy is that they believe there's such a thing as people going through. Well, not really. Because they don't go through, they die. See, because everything is purged. And then it's cleansed with the fire. And so he asked the question, which is very good to ask today. Will the righteous perish with the wicked? And the answer is categorically no. Now, also comes the understanding, if they would go back and look at their Bibles and know that Genesis is the seed where God formed that which went into the ground and must come back at a future date, right, when everything is in harvest. The question then would be asked, and say, well now, what about this great visitation? That God came down and did this great thing so that Abraham was privy to the plan of God, and he was assured that he was a part of the rapture, and that he knew the hour in which he was living. Well now, all you got to do is think in your mind, the Lord himself shall descend them to shout, the voice of the, but they're not going to do that. See, they can't put it together because he is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the ever-changing God. If I had a God like that, I wouldn't want a God like that.
Amen.
My wife and I have enough trouble with just us forgetting. Never mind changing our minds and drawing up new plans without telling the other person, which I'm pretty good at doing. And she's getting kind of used to that, but I think she never will get used to it, let's face it. But you just don't have a God that does things like that. There's in no way, shape, and form. So what we were looking at on Sunday was attempting to show you how that when God comes down at this end time, in the form of the Holy Spirit, as the Son of Man, which also is mentioned in Luke and in Matthew, as it was, so it would be in the days of the Son of Man, as in the days of Abraham and Lot, tells you right there, take it back and see what it was. It was God in the form of human flesh, which God in the form of human flesh always is a prophet, because God was in the prophet. Now, we look at this picture then, or we look at the present situation, that the Holy Spirit, God comes down, and he is going to deal with his children, and at that time, it is going to be in the Spirit. And he is the great prophet, he is also the judge. Now, with this, you understand that it was Elohim that came down to Abraham. Okay, who is Elohim? Elohim is the one who becomes. He's not just eternal God. He's the one who becomes. In other words, he is the one who is constantly revealing himself what he is at that particular time. Like, for instance, if there's a great divine healing campaign going on, and the Pentecostals are very good at that, and we appreciate them for it, and one of these men comes to town, and the Baptists, they say right away, hey, that ain't going to work. Why? That's the revelation that God, the great healer, is here.
No, the Baptists don't want that. No, no, no. No, let's face it, bless God, it's good enough, bless God. If we even, he even dies upon Calvary, it's good enough, bless God, if we get born again. And he ain't no more born again than pack of sawdust. How can you be born again and turn down Elohim, the God who becomes?
Right.
Now Elohim comes down. Now he's in the form of the Son of Man, Holy Spirit, pillar of fire, dealing with the prophet. All right. At this particular time, within him lies the elements of the judge. So, at the time that he is the prophet, which he was before Abraham, notice what it says over here, lady. Later, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, you'll notice that Abraham has an understanding of the sovereignty of God, the greatness. He has an understanding of the principles of prophecy, which is the word of God forthcoming. He has an understanding of God on the sea at the appropriate time which is necessary to bring that particular word and manifest himself in that position. So he has the understanding that this one here is the judge. He is judging between righteous and wicked. And you will notice then he calls him judge. All right. Elohim then, what we looked at, we were looking at him in the light of the understanding that he was becoming judge. Now the reason we say he was becoming judge is because when he turns from prophet in the spirit and flesh priest in the flesh, then he intrinsically becomes judge. Why? Because there isn't any more grace and mercy because the righteous have been taken care of. So therefore now the penalty must come forth with the righteous taken off the scene. All right. The foolish virgin must be purged. The church must be purged. The earth must be purged. Israel's got to be purged right down the line. Of course, the foolish virgin comes under the church because they're back in there, see? Because, you see, the oil ran out. Now, am I mixing everything up here, not following my notes, but I'm going to get to my notes after a little bit if I think I can find it. Just we're at the end time. Listen, what the Holy Ghost does, that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost by justification, see, just a light shadow of it. The Holy Ghost by sanctification, a little deeper. Now, here's why he says this. Now, the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost. And here it is on the last day performing and doing the very same things that it did when it was in Christ. Now, you see, that's a different, you're into a different category there. You see, he's becoming. But as he becomes, he doesn't lose anything. Brother Branham explained that. Why, he said, look, he said, I stand here. He said, now, he said, I was 16 years old, I was a boy. He said, I get married. He said, my son was in my loins. And he said, but through the bedding ground, through holy matrimony, my son comes forth, we have fellowship. Now, he said, first thing, my son gets married and he has a child. Now, he said, I'm a grandfather. Now, he said, I said, all right. He said, look, I've been a son. And now, he said, I'm a husband. And he said, I've got a daughter and a son. And I cannot be husband to my daughter. I'm her father. And I cannot be father to my wife, except in the gospel, which I'm her father in the gospel. And he qualified it. Now, he said, I'm grandfather. But he said, you notice I'm the same person. But he's going through the appropriate stages of life, which manifests what he is at that particular time to the occasion. Well, we got the same thing here. He says here, he's doing the same thing it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church in Christ has become one. As soon as they connect together, the last link, she'll go through the sky shouting. Up will come westing. Now, it sounds like she'll go through shouting while up will come westing. He's not saying that. He got his chronology kind of messed up here. But what he's telling you here is that this happens before the resurrection. Now, in other words, the Spirit of God is right back doing the same things it was doing in the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. So, the fullness of the Godhead has come back bodily once more into the church. See? And manifesting within the church. Now, there was a portion of that. He said, what? Now he said, up will come West Ruth, or all the rest of them back, in those days. He that's first to be last. And if he clarifies his erratic chronology. He that's first to be last, and he that's last first. So then, and there will come the resurrection. Well, you see, the whole thing is kind of a hodgepodge. What he's telling you here positively is the Spirit of Christ, the fullness comes into the church, having come up through this series to where it is right back to what that Spirit was in Christ himself standing in the midst of the church, the way he stood to Israel. And he stood to Israel at the end of their age, then he stands at the end of our age. See? He did just before he took them off the scene. Now he's going to do it again to us. And the last removal is when he stands bodily once more to Israel. Because he never was body to the Gentiles. How are you going to get him back here in the body to the Gentiles if he wasn't Alpha in the body? He was Alpha in the body to Israel. And he's got to be Omega to Israel. And the whole end comes up. This is a spiritual connotation we're dealing with here. Now at the end time, here he's in his place. And all of these things have transpired, so
let me see. This one might be over here in page 20 of the Wives of the Holy Ghost given. Can't find it on page 19, that's for sure. Already, oh, I was already there. I got to go back to, I was in the wrong book entirely. That doesn't do you any good trying to read Isaiah, something to Ezekiel, does it? Well, I wasn't doing quite that bad.
All right. Now, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He followed it in the token, following every age. Every age he followed that to see that it's brought forth. That's what's under the blood. And they could not be made perfect without us. And now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom, the burning there, where Abraham was a type. All right. So, having laid our principle there, I want to also remind you that last Sunday we read over into the Patmos vision, and I think it just might be page 121. I'm not sure. No, it's page 124. that's one of them. Okay. All right. The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Now his countenances, he was judged. Now notice. Now you see, you can read this and miss this if you don't know what we're talking about. I want to ask you a question. And anybody answer me that wants to. Now, we usually women don't answer out, so we got to kind of stay to church order. You just sort of grin because you know the answer. All right, now listen. Where is the Son of Righteousness mentioned? S-U-N. What book? Malachi. Absolutely. Now, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings signifies what? Brings what? No, well, it does, but it's something else. Was it? Immortality. That's what we want, because you see, he's rising. It's in the time of Elijah, and Elijah has nothing to do with the dead. Well, I got plenty to do with you, and I hope to heaven none of your dead. So I'm trying to get you. Elijah doesn't go to the graveyard. Elijah is the one who calls out a bride through the instrumentality of the Holy Ghost, which is given to him. God calls a bride through the instrument of a man. Put it that way if you want. Doesn't matter how you put it, as long as you get it right, and you're right in both cases. All right. It says here, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And he says, now his countenances. Well, he's talking about what? The various expressions and what they mean and his sevenfold glory. And now he is included through the Holy Ghost in this prophet, because this is not in the book of Revelation per se. But if it's Malachi 4, it's got to be in the book of Revelation. All right. He told us that Revelation 10 and 1 was categorically Revelation 1 and 12, which is the same as Revelation 5 and 1. Now, by this time, you should be thoroughly cognizant of where those scriptures are and what they say without me repeating them. See? All right. The Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. Now, count it. He was judged. Or another thing to show that he was over in the Lord's day, do you believe that? He went over the Lord's day and saw the Lord as judge, not as priest, not as king, but as judge. He is judge. Now notice, he said not as priest. Don't you believe that? The Bible says he's judge. And here he's all dressed as a judge showing what he'd done. What he was to the sinner, and what he was to the Christian. Now he brings that all out in the sevenfold revelation. Like the voice of many waters. And things like that. You know, you read it yourself and you heard it. Perhaps if you haven't heard it, you read it. And here he stands now, here, the voice of many waters. And his countenance was the sun shining in his strength. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me. Now you notice right there, significant of this time, that death is on the earth, but is overcome by his presence. All right. Now, you notice what I read here. Son of Righteousness. That's to the bride. Judge, yes, also to the bride, but not unto condemnation. See? Now, over here in page 124. Oh, with breathtaking friends, see him standing there in the supremacy of his deity, or his supreme deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the alpha, the omega, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That was, that which is, and shall come. Now notice, he's standing there in the complete incarnation. In other words, every single thing that God ever was and is absolutely manifests himself in the Son because he is the entire and the wholeness of the attributes of Almighty God in flesh poured in there. Now, what I'm hoping you're beginning to see here now is the fact that we are looking from the hour of Luke 17, 20 to 30, where he is the Son of Man, which is the prophet, and he had to be because he couldn't be the prophet without being the Son of Man. Now that's over in John 5, 22 and 27. Okay. And he said, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, just a minute. Didn't God say, Abraham say way back there in Genesis 18, the judge of all the earth? Now, you see, you know what? I'll tell you what. The Son says the Son doesn't say anything except the Father tells him to say it. The Son doesn't do anything except the Son is quickened to do it by the Father, so the Father does it. So, all right. So what is he telling you here? He's telling you here the very same thing I believe you find over here in John chapter 14. Maybe chapter 16. All right, yes. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if speaking for you, I go away. If I go on my way, the comforter will not come. This is verse 7. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now notice what's going to happen there. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because they go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now if you want to make the prince of this world Satan, you can do that. It wouldn't be too difficult. Say, well, he's already been judged by the fact that his destiny is sealed because of what Jesus did. But you also remember that Jesus is the prince of the kings of this world too. He's the King of Kings. So therefore, what they were had judged him dishonestly and unhonestly. Because they didn't have any honesty in him. Didn't have the truth. So they didn't have the revelation. So they condemned him. Now it says here, at the time the Holy Spirit coming, he actually constitutes a judge. All right. Verse 27. and had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now notice, he said he's given him authority to execute it. In other words, not just merely to pass sentence, but to bring the sentence to pass. He enforces it. All right, now, Brother Branham tells us, when the Holy Ghost that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us, in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. Now, that's over here in the seal book, first seal, page 161. Now, he tells you, now he doesn't tell you that the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. He says, the one that's in our midst now. And if he never was before, he was there when he came down the ring of angels, because Brother Branham saw him as judge. Now, he categorically says, when that one is made incarnate to us, in other words, the rapture's taken place, he's preceded us, and he incarnates himself in the body again, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's judge. But he's king because now, having given the word and passed sentence, he's got power to carry it out. Now, he's none less the prophet. He's no less the redeemer. He's no less the healer. He's no less the judge. He's no less the king. He's no less the Little Valley. He's no less anything. So what you're seeing as the facets, the attributes, the divisions of manifestation and performance and ability, you're seeing them all brought out through him and in him. Now, this is why I want to bring it out to show you here the fact that he is here in the Spirit, but he'll soon reincarnate himself, because that day was what Brother Branham looked at through the eyes of John way, way down through that period of church history. Now, I read this over here in desperation to you, and I want to read it again. I want to get the whole thing. Now, here's what I want to read, the whole paragraph, which you didn't read before. I just wanted to read part of it. Now, Brother Branham is talking. He said the token is Christ. But speaking in tongues and casting out devils and doing those things and preaching, whatever it is the evidence. It's there, true, but it's not it. See, it's a gift of it. If I told you, you say, I want you, Brother Branham, and I give you a gift. Well, that's not me. That's my gift. Tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost itself, a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, the devil can impersonate any one of these things, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost. See, he can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost, because he's the unholy ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is the token that the blood's been applied, because it follows the blood all the way from the book of redemption. Now you notice that's one thing that Cain would not take is the blood. That's where your bloodless religions come from. Every religion that has a philosophy outside of the cross comes straight from Cain. And the token can never follow it. See it? That was the purpose of him coming. That's what he followed in every age. In other words, the application of blood, the Holy Spirit fell on it. Every age he followed that to see that it's brought forth. In other words, every single child of God, every predestinated seed would come under the blood, and the Spirit of God seen him right in. And now listen, that's in every age that took place. And now, that's today, the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which was a type. Then Abraham, God appeared to him. All these things that he hasn't done now through the age and church age, he is doing now. Back to the Word, because of the messages, and the message has to wind up the entire Word. All right. I read that to you. And I got over here where I read, how the Spirit of God has worked under justification. That was the Word. Under Luther, under Reformation, Brother Branham said the church, like its husband, its head had to fall on the ground and die. And when it fell on the ground, it was already going into the ground because the word was being taken away. But he never let a certain portion of that word ever get away. In other words, he never let the blood and the Holy Spirit ever get away from the church. He couldn't, or the church was gone. That's why all these other things could be there. You see? But the church has to come back to where it fell from. So it's got to come right back. And you'll notice in the very beginning, we don't have a board here. I wish we had some kind of a board that we could kind of put somewhere, and because I feel a little more at ease if I can kind of mess around in some sketchology here for my eschatology. Be more helpful to get it. But if you go back to Pentecost, you notice they had the promise of the Holy Spirit. And before the Holy Spirit divided himself into little pieces, which he did not completely divide himself. You see, here's the thing. I just wonder how many people understand when you're dealing with God. When you're dealing with the Father, you're dealing with the Scripture. Okay, let's go to the Scripture, 1 Peter. I want to tell you, I don't want to get tied in knots about preaching, but maybe I need a vacation, or maybe the next 20 years off. But I'm tied in knots all the time this is what gets me all my trouble, my hot-headedness. Because I just get burning up. It says, being born again, not of corruptible sperm, Greek sperma, not logos, sperma, 1 Peter 1:23, but of the incorruptible sperma of the Word of God. Now, trying to show you something. There's no one person got all of the Logos. There's no one person got all of the Holy Ghost. Except Jesus. That ever had it all. Everybody else had a measure. The prophets had a greater measure. Brother Branham said, in fact, the born-again believer today is the only one that had anything near what the prophets had. All right. Now, you've got the great inseminator that came down at Pentecost. And he stood right there. And there wasn't one of those people had the Holy Ghost. And he could have stayed there for 25 years and nobody had the Holy Ghost. And he could have stayed there 125 years if he let him live. And he could have stayed there 2 million years if he let him live. You get what I'm trying to tell you? The presence of the Holy Ghost was not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But he stood there as the great germatizer to be born again, to be quickened back to God. As Brother Branham called the quickening power. Now there he hovered over them in the form of the pillar of fire, the cloud. Then a little tongue came down on each one, like male sperm comes. 15,000 across the root of one hair, the diameter of one hair. That's maybe just so much Holy Ghost any one of us got when you compare what the Holy Ghost himself is. Mm-hmm. See? All right. So then now, he stood there to inseminate and to give life. Now notice, a few years later, the same pillar of fire came back and knocked the eyes out of Paul. Knocked him down flat in the road to Damascus. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus." Same pillar of fire that Abraham saw. The same one that Abraham saw in human form. Now he'd gone back to a pillar of fire. The inseminator. But this time, he's giving the word. Now, Paul's full of the Holy Ghost. There was the same one gives a little measure of himself. I should have put that in there first. Now Paul goes down to Arabia, to the desert somewhere, 3 years. And there he receives a complete revelation from this one in the pillar of fire. Now, this is what the church doesn't understand and the brethren today don't understand. The same spirit that was in Jesus that made him what he is, what he was, is here now. The great inseminator stands here inseminating, if he indeed is doing it, the last ones. See? And when he's through, he still stands there. Now, the Lord himself descends from him with a shout. The voice of the archangel trumpet God, and we're in the shout. And this is that spirit that's in Ephesians. This is that spirit that's given us all through the entire Bible. This is all through these last few years from 1933, June the 11th, 1933, when he first began to make himself visible. Now people say, well, what do you mean then? Was he in the church then? No, he wasn't in there from 1965. Now I want to tell you something. If our brethren that fight this understanding we have of what Brother Branham taught, it's not my revelation, it's Brother Branham's revelation. All I believe I'm doing, I'm teaching what he said.
Amen.
But let's go down here and just take a look at this book. This book called Genesis will deal with Mr. Abraham. In the 12th chapter, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. So, all right, Abraham had spiritual intercourse with God. All right? And then it says in verse 14 of the 13th chapter, the Lord God said to Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and see the place now. Take a look at it. Then in chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abraham again in the vision. And verse 17, he said he's going to be the judge in verse 14, the 15th chapter. In verse 17, when the sun went down, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. What was that? Pillar of fire. Now, then God comes down in the form of a man. And yet in the 17th chapter, even before the 18th, he's 99 years old, and the Lord appeared again. Now, can't they understand that God can keep appearing? Isn't it strange? Oh, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, they're lying. Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. But I'll tell you one thing. It's the first time in 2,000 years God has spoke lip to ear to prophets since the time of Paul.
Yeah.
And he said the same pillar of fire is going to take us into the millennium. All right. All right, now, notice, I read over here, the Spirit has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism under Pentecost. Here it is in the last day performing the very same things that it did when it was in Christ. And when it was in Christ, not in him now, he's down here. What was it? The church in Christ has become one. Why? Because he's one the church, I and my Father are one. Now, as soon as they connect up, they haven't connected up all the way yet. The dead aren't on the ground, and the church is not spiritually one, spiritually perfect yet to be, so the dead come out of the ground, because they with us cannot be made perfect. She's coming to it. And what is it? Tells you it's a revelation. Now, what I'm looking at here is this. Coming up to this hour. Now, it's only in the days of the voice of the seven church age messenger that he can be here, because he wasn't here in Pentecost. And he's here now. Now, that's Revelation 10. Can't find it there. This cold done got me all messed up in my head every place else. It can't stop me from thinking, even though I'm thinking too good. Okay. Chapter 10, I saw another mighty messenger come down heaven, clothed the cloud of rainbows upon his head, and his face that were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. Now, you know that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that one over there in Revelation 1. Cried the loud voice when the lion roared. And then he swears the time is running out. But remember, Brother Branham said the time only starts to run out because it doesn't run out until after the white throne judgment, new heavens and new earth. You can see what's happening. We've started on the progression to eternity because he's here.
Amen.
I don't understand people thinking. I really asked for it, so I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I just have to say, well, I'm sorry, but that's how it came out. That's how I believe it. Not necessarily that's how it is. But I'm not a patient person. Now, Brother Branham, excuse me. piece of trouble Lee is he just lays that scripture in there until he's, you know, ready to pop. Well, I'm not defending myself because nobody should be rotten as I am. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm ready to pop. Because look, this word tells it.
Amen.
We're not dealing anymore in hogwash, brother, sister, creeds and dogmas and this junk. The prophet categorically said, Jesus is all three in descending. And that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, which was Elohim. Now it said the Lord descend in heaven. And then we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Well, that's the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. We got the same thing happening once more. Marvel of marvels and glory of glory. Now, it said right here in the days of the voice, the seven angel. That's the seven church messenger. When he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God had declared the good news by his servants, the gospel. Now it tells you there's no more to come. Okay. Are you with me? Fine, turn back to Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who are different in many parts and in many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. Now it says over here, in the days of the seventh church, the eighth messenger, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants the good news of the gospel. It says it's going to finish it.
Amen.
Finish what? The good news of the gospel. Finish what? Justification, sanctification, baptism, gifts, word, presence. Exodus time. It's finished. Listen, they were down in Egypt for 400 years. The judge came. Come out. We've been there 2,000 years. Come out.
Amen.
We're getting out of here. Judgments of God falling in the earth. See, everything typed perfectly. You can't get away from it. It's in the last time. And this fella here, what does he do? Well, he tells you. He finishes it up. Now, how do you finish anything up? You finish it up by bringing it to conclusion, and you polish it.
That's right. Amen.
There were loose ends. What about them seven seals? What about those seven thunders? What about eternal security? What about marriage and divorce? What about serpent seed? What about this? My God, yes. What about a 500,000 things almost? Well, let's get that down to 50 at least. I don't want to exaggerate because you get carried away. As Moody said, a woman came to Moody one day and she said, Mr. Brother Moody, I have an awful time with exaggeration. He said, sister, just call it lying, call it lying. So, all right. It's going to be finished. And when you finish a thing, you know that it's been going through a process, and every process goes through parts. Now somebody say, well, I don't think I understand that, Brother Bill. Well, I'm going to teach you to understand it. When the sperm goes to the egg, it forms a spine, understand. From there on, the things begin to form. All right, now you got a little baby in there that's perfectly formed, but he doesn't come forth yet because he's not perfectly formed. He's got to grow. And all those parts in there got to grow until it's mature enough for the baby to come down. All right, you've got the same thing here in the gospel. See? The Holy Spirit back there in Wesley's day, they did. They had a Luther's day and Pentecost day, they did. They got the Holy Ghost today. But they didn't have the gospel finished. And part of the gospel is this, the seventh church age messenger in the presence of God. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is exactly why Brother Branham preached what he preached. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. All right, what comes in part? Prophecy, which is the word of God, comes in part.
Amen.
Justification, sanctification, baptism, restoration, and gift. And now right back to the word. You follow? Hey, now listen, I'll tell you why you should follow, because that's the word. Don't bat your, no, I know you're not, but don't bat your spiritual eyeballs around trying to figure it out. Boy, if Ruth come up here every night and said, let me figure this electronic organ out before I put my fingers on the keyboard. We'd never hear one little bit. And the same with Dave on his accordion. And I think the piano is complicated, but I know Chris is not that smart either. Who's going to sit down and figure the thing out? Nobody asked anybody to figure anything out. When the sheet is laid before you, if you got any rhythm, when the great conductor begins to conduct the symphony of the word, then get up and join the dance. Hallelujah, for salvation has come. Let's God dance clean up to the dance clean up to the rapture. Now don't dance with each other. I'll hit you at the end. Where's that? Got something hard here. You get bopped in the... I can take a lot of things, but not that. You can dance your own little impression as you dance. Dance in the spirit with your own spirit. That's better still. Get this thing down right. All right. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come. All right. In the days of the seventh church age messenger, when he'll begin to sound, the mystery of God should be perfected, because that's what the word finished is. For we knew in the part, we understood in the part. When that which is finished is come. What's finished? Oh, sure glad you asked. So, man, if you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't have thought of it. Over here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and it tells you what it is. For the pertinent sake, to edify the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Now, what is that? All right, let's go up above and find it. But verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, and he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And who's he talking about? Christ. Now he that descended, what is it? The one that descended went up and came back as the Holy Ghost. So now you're dealing with the Holy Ghost. That's Christ. Now, listen, what's he doing? He gave a ministry of the word to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, to build the body of Christ, till we come in unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, the finished man, the measure, stature, the fullness of Christ. The last of the Gentiles, and there's no more to come. The 144,000 aren't in the bride. Forget it. They're eunuchs. They take care of the bride. Henceforth, no more children. We matured. It's polishing off time. No more tossing to and fro. No more carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning crafters. They had that all through the years. And they got it till this hour. But this is one thing the devil can't do.
Praise the Lord.
There's no way the devil can imitate this. It's already on tape. It's laid before us. And the Holy Ghost walks right in, takes us right back. No way the devil can get to this. Now that's all laid out in front of us. Now, grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're not talking about Jesus the man. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Who's our head? The Holy Ghost. So we're growing up unto Him. When it's finished in the days, the seven church age messengers, nothing left but the capstone to come down. You got the fullness of the Holy Ghost today. Back. Proving He's here by doing the same things He did when He was the fullness of God here in human flesh. What more do people want? This was not done for 2,000 years, Almighty God. What's the matter with people? What's all this about the Holy Spirit? You need to get down here.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Grow up unto Him. Let's look at it. The body of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12. 12. Coming up. For as the body is one and many members, and all members, that body being one and many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Mystical body, said Brother Branham.
I always have trouble with this microphone. I'm going to get a longer cord on it. I don't wander around too much, but I am a little bit active up here, Ken.
All right. The body of the Holy Ghost. Now He's been inseminating. Now He was there at the start of it. When He started inseminating, He's down here at the end when He finishes inseminating. Like bringing a bride back to perfection. Well, let's find out about that perfection. What is it about? Go back to Acts, the third chapter. Let's just read the Bible. Forget what anybody said. I'm not going to worry about anybody anymore. Now, the 19th verse, the middle of it. When times refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Even he shall send Jesus, that's God, to that Lord that was there. All right, what Lord are we talking about? Elohim! That's the one that's present. That same one shall send Jesus the Christ, who was appointed unto you, proclaimed in advance. But the heavens got to hold him there until restoration. All right. At perfection, then a restoration's the same thing. Oh.
Well, I got the Holy Ghost this time. With Elijah Company, this time.
Say they believe this message no more than nothing.
Amen.
Well, keep your cool, Lee. It's okay. Be nice like your prophet. Forget it. I never was the prophet. Don't ask a leper to change his spot to Ethiopian skin. Yeah. Now restoration comes. Comes under a prophet. And those that don't hear are destroyed utterly. Who are they? Wicked.
Amen.
At restoration, then who's standing here? Prophet and judge. But when do the wicked get destroyed? When the righteous are gone. When he's reincarnated. When the same Holy Ghost that was in him here when he was on earth, the same Holy Ghost goes back and takes us with him.
Praise God.
See, I don't know. I just don't understand people thinking. Well, that's fine. They don't understand mine, so glory to God. That's like the guy, you know, he decided, well, he had this horse and he thought he'd count his teeth and the horse thought he'd count the guy's fingers. So... I guess that's it. Might as well make a joke of it because of those God knows the serious and desperate. See, listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother. See, what burns me up, and these guys don't understand. Either we were told a lie by the prophet, or we were told the truth.
Right.
And it goes more than just him being here. It goes to the fact that you don't add a word and take a word. Now, I say this categorically. We're not looking around anymore like a bunch of nice guys. Like everybody wants to be a nice guy and preach duplicity and everybody else into the kingdom of God. My brother and my sister, I can't do it. Brother Branham said duplicity led them back to the Antichrist. Merciful God, did Jesus Christ do a thing like that? No, it shows you the delusion of the hour.
Amen.
Now listen, don't argue with me, kid. I know what I'm talking about. I get around just enough to know what's going on and it burns me to a crisp. I'm going to just rip the phone off the wall pretty soon one of these days. And get over it. Just stay home. Preach once every 3 weeks. Something like that. I don't understand what's going on, except I do understand what's going on. I understand what's going on is this. If I am right that he is here, and they say he is not here, that's taking away from the word of God, my brother, my sister.
Amen.
Now, if he is not here, and I say, is that adding to the Word of God? Am I just a nice guy that gets by because, hallelujah, I knew the prophet? I'm going to tell you something. Even his wife didn't know the prophet. And as a preacher, I came the closest. Before he died, he said to me, Lee Bale is the only one. The preacher understands me and my message. And I don't understand the prophet for a plug nickel. Yet I wrote the book. And I don't think any man living preaches the way I preach concerning the prophet and these things. I don't believe anybody does. Maybe so, but I just don't.
Right.
And I know nothing. But I know this one thing. Look. I have a piece of paper here. I will now take the piece of paper and I will add a little Kleenex on it. I will now take the paper and dump the Kleenex off. Oh, it's not the truth. Well, listen, I added Kleenex. I'm adding to it. If I could take and I could just put the two together like that somehow, I'd really add, right? Really take. Now, I don't understand what people are trying to get around this world. They're not serious about this message, brother, sister.
Amen.
When you got to stand up and know what you're teaching, you are supposed to know, you'd better know as far as I'm concerned. Now, the head is the Holy Spirit. Now, what? We're going back to Ephesians. Now I'm going to get you out of here because I'm not going to re-preach this next Sunday. I'm not even looking at my nose hard. I preach the next Sunday and it'll be a different sermon. It'll be the same sermon. Now, this head from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supply, every church age, every messenger, according to effects your work in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto edifying yourself and up. Now, he put the Word and the Holy Ghost come back together. In other words, every age has a portion of God's Word which is enlivened by the Holy Spirit and lived for that hour.
Yes,
alright, this is the hour when it is all over. And when it is all over, then redemption has to come into full flow, which is the bodies out of the ground. Now, the Holy Spirit was there to start it. And he brought the pure Word. If he's at Omega, he's got to be here to finish it and bring us just back where we were. Now, I wanted you to notice this. It said here, from whom the whole head fitly joined together. It's telling you where everything came from. It came from the Holy Spirit. It came from God. Now, you got to get back to headship of God. And that's where he's taking it, by the Holy Ghost. And the headship of God starts first of all with the revealed Word, the restored Word. Then comes the resurrection. Then comes the immortality of the living Christ. Then comes the rapture and the wedding supper. Then comes back here on earth. Now, in the meantime, the bride comes to the place where the Word is everything to her. Even before she's taken away, she learns what it is to have the Word and not say it until she's given permission. She knows what to do with it. Now you're getting to the adoption. But the adoption, the fullness, comes in the resurrection. So now we're caught out of here. At the marriage supper, we come down to this earth, and there won't be one blemish. Why? Because the head and the body is complete one body. As the head came out in the resurrection, so the body comes out. All made immortal. Now we're coming into that place in this very hour here. Now, I'm going to worry about my notes. Better just kind of throw them around here and see what I got here. All right, we covered that. Okay. Mentioned you on Sunday that Brother Branham said he came in the name of three sons. Son of man, son of God, son of David. But what people have failed to realize, there is a repeat of the Son of Man to the Gentiles. So therefore, he was Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man. He was Son of Man in the days of the Hebrews. He was Son of God in the days of the Hebrews and the Gentiles, because the true Hebrews came in. The Jews came in, called them, they're really Hebrews, Israelites. Jews, from the word Judea, that's a Judah. All Israel is not Jew. That's just out. In fact, at the time of Jesus, they were classified by the land where they came from. Are not all these Judeans? Are not all these Galileans? So you got to go back to the original word, Israelite. All right. Now then, he becomes Son of Man in the Holy Spirit at the end time to the Gentiles. Now, he said, judgment is committed unto me. And he put it down the road. But this time, there's no going down the road. It's here. So therefore, in the book of Luke, we find Jesus is bringing out in chapter 17 all of this about the Son of Man. He came and demanded, when the kingdom of God should come. Now, listen, the question, when will the kingdom of God come? All right, you want to know the answer. The answer is, as it was in the days of Noah. He'll be here. But if you don't see it under your nose, you'll never get it. People running here now don't run anywhere. I don't have to run anywhere. I believe the fastest way to get somewhere is to sit down. That's right. Let God do it for you. Brother Brand said the best thing to do is learn to get out of the way. Now it says they ate, they drank. They didn't even know what was going on. Now notice he says here, The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Now he answered their question. They said, when is it going to come? What is it? Well, he said, it doesn't come with visibility. It'll be there and you won't see it. It'll be right in the midst of you. Then he turned to the disciples. And he said, you got it right now. In the days of the Son of Man. I'm the prophet, aren't I? Isn't that what you're looking for? Like unto Moses? Okay, I'm Messiah, I'm the prophet. Here I am. Here's the kingdom. All you need to do is to stand around me and admit me, take me, and you watch things happen. You watch the desert blossom like a rose. You want oil well? I'll give you oil well. You want a fleet of camels? As you want a set of Cadillacs? Okay, give them to you. Now, I'm putting this in a terminology of our civilization to let you know what went on back here, because had they received John the Baptist, the kingdom had come unto them.
Amen.
But they didn't. Now he says, right here, I'm here. Now he said, the secret of knowing the answer to their question is this. When you see this happen once more. All right? Even though it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. At the days of the Son of Man, which is the coming, which is the parousia, which is Matthew 24, which is same as Luke 17. Now, in that day, he which shall be in the house, stop his stuff and his health, and he not come down, take it away, he is in the field, and not return back. And who will seek to save his life will lose it, but who will lose his life at this time will preserve it. In other words, that he that commits to the keeping of his soul to this hour, the revelation of the Son of Man, he's got it made. Nobody else. Well, Brother Brand said nothing outside this word will come to life. I didn't say it, he did. All right, remember Lot's wife. That's back in Abraham's day. Okay, I tell you, that night two will be in the bed, one taken one out. Judgment. The bride taken out, judgment falling. Because it says here, this is the rapture where the eagles are. But over there in Matthew 24, it's the great tribulation, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he lets them know exactly this hour. Alright, Son of Man constitutes judge. Now, Brother Branham said the judgments of God are in the earth. He said the sixth seal opened in 1964 with the Alaskan earthquake. The fifth seal had already opened. 120, then under the sixth seal at the same time, because under the sixth seal were the 250,000 devils at River Euphrates. The fifth and sixth seals, which seals have been open for quite some time in progress, is literally open. Right. The sixth seal is going on already. All that's waiting is for the bride to get out of here. And all God's waiting for is enough bride. There'll be the exact number, don't worry. And they'll have that mind of God uniquely knowing the thoughts. And he said, when you get even 10 people in one place that think alike, he said, there'll be a rapture. Now here we are at the end time. I can't prove I'm going to go into rapture, but I believe I'm going to. You can't prove you are, but you believe you're going to. Now I'm not trying to be a judge over anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing, brother, sister. This word is the judge. And this word was revealed by a prophet. And he said, God will judge the righteousness, the world in righteousness, by one Christ Jesus who is the Word. Alright. It's being judged now. I've never ever told you people to sit here and listen to me and say, you believe what I teach. Never have asked anybody to do that. What I believe is my business, what you believe is your business. That's true. I cannot give you revelation. You cannot give me one. Brother Branham could not give himself one, could not give us one. Only God could give him the revelation, and because he was such a vessel, he could receive a revelation. Now, we're all nice people, we try to be. It's not our job to condemn anybody, neither should we. That's not our job. We are not made judges over our brethren. But there's one thing I believe, as I said already tonight. I believe I have the right to say it. Not just a matter of authority, but I have the right in the sense of responsibility. that we had better know that we are saying what the prophet said. Not that you take my word above anybody else's word. That would be ridiculous. But I'll tell you one thing. I check everything anybody ever tells me what the prophet said. I want to know where he said it. I want to know under the conditions in which he said it. And I want to see live with Scripture. Because I'll tell you why. When mighty angels came into William Branham's room, seven angels in a row, and that great seventh spirit was the one that belonged to him, that one before the throne, that matched William Branham, the seven church age messenger, seven measures of spirit, seven measures of word, come down at the end time, there he stands right there. And he said, that great notable one, that was the great one right there at the end time, came right down. And William Branham went to his Bible, with a concordance too, by the way, to check everything that they brought in. Now, I don't expect you to sit here and believe what I say unless I can back up what the prophet said and you can see it yourself. But I'm going to tell you something you already know. And that is this. There's no way you can read any of these books. This is volume 4, and this is Patton's Vision. This would be number 2 book, I guess. This, maybe it's number 1. No, it's number 2. Of the patent of the Revelation series. You can't get a hold of seals. And you start reading, but you'll see, as you never saw before, as you never see, in the last year, the year and a half, every place you look, it talks about him being present.
Amen.
And it doesn't talk about you being inseminated. It doesn't talk about you and me as a bunch of people getting together and doing the mighty works of God and bringing the kingdom down. Hallelujah. It talks about God being down here.
Amen.
As his own messenger. As his own prophet. As his own judge. As his own redeemer. As his own resurrection. As his own everything. And we're a part of that. And we've come right to the place where the Holy Ghost is now. Headship. Headship is Christ. He's got it. And when that headship is in perfection due to the bringing into conformity and a unity, which is called subduing, which is a very poor word. I don't like it because I just don't like it. And yet it must have the authority there of the great commander, the captain of the host of Israel. Putting sin right in line. Everybody in his right place. Everyone at his right gift. Whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not going to worry 2 cents about it. Flattering them all through that and just mess the whole thing up. Forget it. End up playing spiritual leapfrog down the seashore. Hunter had the gift of jumping the highest and yelling the loudest. No, brother, sister, you go plumb off the deep end when you fool with that stuff. Leave it alone. Just remember this one thing. If God was smart enough to start this, he's smart enough to end it. If he was smart enough to come down here and start it, he's smart enough to come down here and end it. As Brother Branham said, it's been Christ all the way through. And the field was all over open. He said, them seals was Christ. So I just leave with you tonight. The judge is here. Yes, sir. The king is here. Why not? Just waiting for the incarnation now, which, thank God, we are not waiting for. We are waiting for the resurrection and immortality and rapture. He is waiting for the incarnation. Now, we are waiting only in the sense that, well, we're part of it, in the sense of the bride, the marriage, the great waiting supper. But you see, I refuse to project myself down that road because the prophet said all the time, glorifying God for what took place looking back, all the time glorifying God for what's going to take place looking down the future, but he said, well, they don't know what's going on. Tonight, brother, sister, I believe we do know what is going on. Now, certainly I don't know like a prophet what's going on. Don't take me for a prophet. But I'm going to tell you something. If a prophet was here, and that great one that was to fall in him, which is the Logos, is to increase, then, brother, sister, increasing is increasing.
Amen.
And if the original was to bring us back to the Word, then you better believe when we get all the way back, that sweet spirit comes into the church. You watch how God begins to move. That little short while. Whatever he does, don't ask me. I'm not interested. You say, why aren't you? Because I'm not there yet. I'm not looking down the road. I know what's down the road. But I'm not looking. I'm looking now. And I'm looking for his greater understanding. And his, the greater dynamism of revelation. That every time I preach this and bring it to your attention, you will notice it's the same thing but in a different way with added information. A deeper depth, a higher height.
Amen.
And a more pronounced stimulation. Oh, yes. One of these days we'll be so quickened. We'll just kick our shoes. Well, those shoes won't even stay on. They won't wrap them. Who needs them? Ain't going to dance either. They just, who'll need them? These clothes will fall off because we're clothed in beautiful robes of fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. This flesh will be changed. Because the mind is going through the process now. So there you are. Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank and praise you for thy mercy, the wonders of the riches of thy grace, the goodness of Almighty God extended toward us, which we have of thee. We are so grateful for it. We praise you, Lord, for your presence and as your word so beautifully said, you're not a God that's afar off, and you're nearer than when we first believed. Hallelujah. Came right down here in 1933 and appeared and appeared and appeared. Until then, peering in great signs and wonders proved that you were the one that would appear in the church. Come right down, open those seals. Showed yourself. Wonderful, wonderful. Showed yourself the great mercy seat. Showed yourself the great prophet, the great judge, the great king, the great God, the great all in all. And we're grateful for that, Lord. And showed yourself that you're our Redeemer, the author and finisher of our faith. All of these things, Lord, we put back on you. We put nothing on ourselves, except to know this one thing, Lord. Without you, we are all men most miserable. Without you, Lord, we are less than nothing, because we are a detriment to ourselves, to you, and everybody else. And looking at ourselves, Lord, doesn't do any good, except in the sense that every time we look at you, we know we were more and more unworthy. But now, Lord, we're looking for that great day to come that you promised, which the prophet said would come. When that sweet spirit comes into the church, hallelujah. Oh, merciful God, what a day that's going to be. Lord, especially for fellows like me that have so desired and so hungered for those things, because in myself, Lord, simply do not have those beautiful qualities that so many people have. Just a little bit too much like a grain of wheat put into a cuckleberry with too many burrs on it. And Father, I'm grateful though that you could do something like this. Because I look to you. I can't look to myself. I can't do it anymore. It just isn't any use anyway. You done give up trying. Lord, if you don't do the performing, there wouldn't be any performance. And we believe, Lord, that goes for everybody though, because it wouldn't matter how good a person is, how bad, how in between, it takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then it takes God himself after that. You come and do the changing. Because, Lord, we know they'll never get out of the grave by themselves. You're going to raise them. Your voice is going to do it. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you that resurrection is coming right up. Give us strength, Lord, if we must face the future, which is going to be pretty rough, and it could be. We don't know. For as the prophet said, it could be 25 years, 100 years yet tomorrow morning. Already 17 years have gone by since he's gone. Surely 19 years since coming right around the bend, since the seals were opened up, begun to be opened up, Lord. And the revelations all begin coming forth right to the place of the great rapture take, Lord, where the great sermon he preached telling us the Lord himself descends. Here he is in our midst, hallelujah, telling us all the time, oh, Father God, how can we be anything but warmed in our innermost being and joy in our soul because you are here? Here, Lord, separating. Not do we ever ask for it, but Father, when you appeared to Abraham, he just said, Lord, look out for the righteous. You'll do that, won't you? I don't want to worry about those down there in Sodom. That was your business. That was the ministering angels went down. That was their business. That was Lot's business down there. And you said, no way will the righteous perish wicked. Even brought up poor old Lot and his two daughters. We know, Lord, at the end time, there'll be nobody coming out, though, that unless they're already out, separated. I believe, Lord, separation time could be over. Don't know, but could be over. Things moving very rapidly. By tomorrow morning, it could be another 1929 Wall Street crash. banks going down, nations going down.
Yes.
Lord, we look to you and nobody can solve anything. And I'm glad you can. I'm glad you're here, Lord. This is the rest with me. We call it the weary rest. This is that refreshing. Hallelujah. God is here. Pillar of fire here to take us to the millennium. Oh, that means the resurrection's right around the hand. Right at corner, right at hand, Lord. We thank you for it. So now, Father, as we go, just be with us and may our thoughts be of you continuously. May our joy be in you, Lord. Just fire us up, O God, to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Press the battle of the gates. Go all the way with him who loved us because you're so worthwhile. Lord, realizing there's nothing we just can't bring under control. Do you realize, Lord, there's no price too great. There's nothing too much, Lord. If it just costs us every inch of skin, as the prophet said, oh God, help us to understand. Help me especially, Lord, because I sure am a person who needs a lot of understanding there and just push the battle to the gate and take everything in stride and deem everything a victory no matter what happens because we're more than conquerors. Not of the King eternal and more than the only wise God be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just go away singing. Take the name of Jesus with you. Okay, Lord.